All right, we're in our last session looking at Connection 7, which is the world. How do we as Christians use our personal walk, marriage, family, friends, church, kingdom? How do we use all these connections to reach people who don't have these connections to God? So we've been looking at how to communicate our faith, personal evangelism, all the different methods. I want to share with you two more. One is called the sowing Bible seeds method, and the other is probably one you've never heard of, called the opt-out method. So we'll start with the sowing Bible seeds. I worked for several years, so did Henry, president of Christian Leaders Institute, Henry Reinga. We both worked for the Bible League, an organization that was founded by Bill Chapman. Bill Chapman was a businessman from Chicago, and this was like, you know, the 30s, somewhere back then. And he was at something, some convention or some conference or something, I think he was in the insurance business, and he was down in New Orleans, and He was sick. He wasn't feeling well, and he wanted to read the Bible. And there was a Bible in the hotel that he was staying. It was a Gideon's Bible here in the United States and several countries around the world. The Gideons placed Bibles in places like hotels. So he opened up the Bible, and it spoke to him. God healed him. And he was so impressed with that he started thinking about how great the Bible was. And so in New Orleans, he went to a bookstore and he bought like 15 Bibles, and he just knocked on random doors because he thought, you know, a lot of people don't stay in a hotel. You know, this really helped me. Maybe it can help someone else. So he just knocked on 15 doors. A person came to the door. He said, you know, I'm running around with Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, I want to give you this Bible if you promise to read it. And so after a while, he got rid of 15 Bibles. When he got back to Chicago, he bought, you know, hundreds of Bibles. And he went door to door, and he started doing this. And then he started helping other and training other people. And then it became a program in churches. He would go to churches. This is how you do it. And churches would go out, knock on doors, and give Bibles away. I'll give you this Bible if you promise to read it. And then World War II happened. The organization was growing. And actually, General Douglas MacArthur, after World War II, MacArthur was in charge of the reconstruction in Japan. He asked if Bill Chapman would get Bibles to Japan. So Bill Chapman organized it and got people to donate and so on. And before he called it the Bible League. But once he started getting Bibles around the world, he called it the World Home Bible League. It was called the Home Bible League. We get the Bible into a person's home, and now it's the World Home Bible League. And then when I was living, working there, it got shortened to just the Bible League. So the Bible League was trying to get the Bible into people's hands, but they didn't just hand them. You know, a lot of Bible organizations just bring them by the truckload, offload them to some organization. Here you go. Good luck. And people just pass out the Bible. But that doesn't mean anyone reads it. So when Bill Chapman started it, it was always this idea, I will give it to you if you promise to read it. And so Bible studies were formed. And so the way it worked around the world was, you start a Bible study with people. When they complete it, they get a New Testament. They do another Bible study. When they complete it, they get the whole Bible. So the Bible became a reward for getting into the Bible. So, I worked there for 6 years, started the ministry in Malaysia, and that has always, you know, played with my mind and my imagination, because the Bible League stopped doing that. They stopped knocking on doors and doing sort of that method. And I always thought, you know, I wonder if that would work today? I mean, it worked in the 30s, but would it work today? So I'm going to tell you how you might do that. In fact, Archers is going to do this next fall. We're going to try it. Step one. So here's what I would do. If I was knocking on doors, this is the first thing I would say. Hi, my name is Steve Elzinga, and I've been giving free samples of a book that has been the number one bestseller this year. In fact, it was the number one bestseller last year as well. And the year before that. In fact, it has been the number one bestseller since the invention of the printing press over 500 years ago. I'm talking about the Bible. So I'm trying to create a little bit of, a little mystery. What book is this? And finally, they realize it's the Bible. Step two. Before I give the sample that I have, can I get your advice on a question I've been asking your neighbors? Okay, so now I just want your advice. In other words, I need something from you. I'm not selling you something. I would like your opinion. And in one of the sessions, we're going to talk about how to ask questions. And that's one of the best ways to begin a conversation. Especially if you're trying to give some information to someone else, people don't always want your information. But they do like giving their opinion about stuff. And that's a great way to segue into a conversation. So here's the question. Why do you think that even though the Bible is and has been the number one bestseller for over 500 years, most people don't read it? Why do you think people don't read the Bible? Now, if you were to ask, why don't you read the Bible, that would be offensive. It'd be very judgmental. But if you come to someone and say, why do you think most people don't read the Bible, they will be glad to tell you. And a lot of times what they'll be telling you is why they don't read it. But the Bible? It's so big. You read it and you can't figure it out. It's a bunch of stuff and, people killing people and, every negative thing that they think about the Bible, they will tell you. They will give you the whole list of why they have not read the Bible. But see, now rather than being offended, they feel like they're in charge, they're in control, they're telling you stuff. And you ask them for their opinion. You elevated them. Step three, you're agreeing with them. The Bible is large, confusing, hard to read. And that's why I am out here trying to help people get into the Bible in the easiest way possible. So I agree with you. A lot of the things that you say are absolutely true. But there might be another way. Okay? Step four, the walk with God for 6 days and see if he shows up track. So this is what I'd be handing out. Little track. Walk with God for 6 days. This is my smallest Bible. It's got 6 verses. Okay? Day two, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. And then there's a thought. Having something in your life to which you can really give your all is truly a blessing. You were made to want to win. And then there's a question. How can you be spiritually victorious today? So it's just a simple 6 verses, 6 thoughts, 6 questions. That's it. And of course, there are verses that are like, easy to understand. Verses that relate to people's lives. So when they read them, it's like, well, I didn't know stuff like this was in the Bible. And the thought sort of gets them thinking about how the verse may impact this very day. Okay, so I'm making it as easy as possible for them to get into this thing so that they succeed. Anyone can succeed at this. All right. So then, how, you know, this, you're, in other words, you're planting Bible seeds. So this is the first seed. So then I want to tell a person is, look, if you do this for the next 6 days, I will come back, and I forgot to bring one, but I will give you a 30-second Bible. I have this 30-second Bible. It's got a verse, a thought, and a question, just like this little track. But there's 365 of them arranged under 52 topics. They're like the highlight verses of the Bible. Verses that when you read, oh yeah, I get that. Verses that a person who's never read the Bible doesn't know a thing about it would be like, wow, that, I didn't know stuff like this was in the Bible. And a verse, and then the thought that helps them apply it now to their lives, and you know, then they start seeing things happen. Okay, so if you read this, so if you do the little track, I'll give you this. If you do this, I'll give you the Jesus Bible. And the Jesus Bible is 150 pages. It's where Jesus shows up in the Bible. If you want to know what the Bible has to say about Jesus, the most arguably the most influential, most famous person in the history of the planet. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, knowing what the whole deal is about him might be worth reading. I'll give you that. If you finish that, I'll give you the, I call it the sampler Bible. This is the abridged Bible. It's one-third the size of the whole Bible. It's got all 66 books of the Bible, but it's only one-third the size of the whole Bible. On it I have a little phrase, the Bible you might be able to read from cover to cover. So if you've struggled with the Bible, for example, Leviticus. There's only one chapter in Leviticus. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 talks about all seven festivals, all in the one chapter. So people don't get bogged down in Leviticus or Second Chronicles. In other words, it's the highlights. It's the best of, you know, to help someone read the whole thing and actually get it rather than get bogged down. So anyway, so it's sort of a planting seed by seed by seed, and hopefully over time, the Jesus Bible, the sampler Bible, and then how it works, I offer one product with a promise to give them the next if they read it. Number two, I figure out when to come back to give them the next product. Hopefully a connection is made in the process. See, that's the whole point. That, you know, that was Bill Chapman. I'm going to give you this if you promise to read it. And how do I get you to read it? And how do we develop a relationship? Because ultimately, if you don't get connected to a church, the whole thing is going to fall apart. Because God chose the church to be his instrument of bringing salvation to people. So we have to get people ultimately to church. All right. So that's the planting seed method. And you can, you know, I have these things. We're going to have them in our bookstore at the here at Christian Leaders Institute. And you can get them and do it there. Or you can find your own way. You know, Bill Chapman used New Testaments, the whole Bible. There's always a way to do this. Okay. The second method is the opt-out method. It all started on a warm evening in Amsterdam. Henry and I were doing some CLI graduations in England. We went to Paris. We went to Scotland. But we also went to the Netherlands. We were in Amsterdam. And we did a conference there, but I remember in the evening we were just walking around the streets of Amsterdam. It was time to eat, and we found a Thai restaurant. But when we went, and they had tables sort of outside, kind of on the sidewalk, there was someone at every table. So there was a couple sitting at one of the tables, but there was a space for people. So we asked, "Do you mind if we eat here too?" He said, "No, go sit down." So we started talking. Now, both Henry and I, our ancestry is the Netherlands. Henry is a Rhyinga. I am Elzinga. And names that end with the ga are from a little province called Friesland. the Frisians of the Netherlands. And the Frisians are quite famous, really, in the Netherlands. Christianity actually came through Saint Boniface, is what he was called. Saint Boniface came to the Netherlands to preach the gospel, and he went to the Frisians. And he preached the gospel there, and what did my ancestors do? They killed him. So my ancestors killed the first guy that brings Christianity to the Netherlands. But it took root, and so, you know, I am blessed through his martyrdom. So anyway, the Frisians were tough people. So anyway, so Henry and I, both from the Netherlands, if you go back far enough, and so we're sitting with this couple and we're enjoying a conversation. And we're talking about the Netherlands and our common history and so on. And we're just having a good time. And they're having a good time with us. And I would guess that, you know, it was like a half an hour of laughing and talking and joking and sharing. And then somehow or another, they found out that we were pastors. And when they did, they were like shocked. I mean, they looked at us and said, really? Sane people that we could have this much fun and have a conversation, intelligent conversation, and you really believe this stuff? Really? I mean, they were just, how can this be? So we started sharing, you know, and we kind of went down a lot of the traditional ways of trying to share your faith and, you know, philosophy and arguing and all the different ways that you might try to share your faith, all the things that we've covered already here in the past. And they were oblivious to it all. They just couldn't believe that sane people can believe in God and, you know, Jonah and the whale and a guy dying on the cross, raised, I mean, all this stuff. Really? How? In this modern world, they just could not get over it. So I remember, you know, we were sort of frustrated with this whole process. But I remember in the middle of all this frustration, thinking of something to say. And that's where the opt-out method came from. And this is what I asked them. Were you baptized in your past? Did your parents bring you to church? Did your parents or grandparents go to church? Do you have some connection to Christianity either now or in your past? If so, this is what I told them, if so, God is so gracious, He may let you into His kingdom on that basis. So if you are absolutely sure that Christianity is not for you, then we can help you officially opt out. We can, of course, help people opt in, which is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but in the same manner, we can help people opt out if they choose. Now, that's a weird method, isn't it? But we try to make it sound official. Look, you know, we've been ordained. We are licensed to do, we're licensed to help people become Christians. You're familiar with that kind of process? People accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's opting in. But there's the official opt out. I mean, if you really don't believe it, and you want to make sure, we can help you opt out. Well, they thought about it and said, well, I don't know if we want to officially opt out. You see, what we did is we made them doubt their doubt. Oh, I don't believe this stuff. Really? Are you sure? Are you 100% sure? Well, I'm not 100% sure. Ah, so there's a little bit of faith there. You see, a lot of times in our evangelism, it's like you're either saved or you're not. But here's the thing. God starts working on a person's heart long before they know what's going on. And I want them to sense that. I want them open to the possibility that God is already working there, or that there's something that's already there. Is it saving faith? I don't know. I don't know how much faith it takes. But Jesus said if you had the faith of a mustard seed, the smallest seed, you could move a mountain. So do you have a little faith? You're hanging back with a little bit of faith that you hardly realize is there? I want to build on that. So, that's what we told them. I said, okay. So there might be a little something there. Maybe not, I don't know. But there might be something. And tell you what. You know, we have this is not we don't think this is an accident that we sat here. I mean, what are the chances of us sitting here? There's no place to sit. We sit here, we talk. I mean, what are the chances of this happening? Very small. So if this is of God, God is real. Over the next couple of weeks, he may talk to you. He may have something happen. I don't know what can happen. That's how God, that's how he's worked in our lives. I don't know what's going to happen in your life, but I'm just saying, be aware. I love that kind of evangelism. I love the kind of evangelism where I am trying to build on what I see already there. You know, a lady shared with me that her husband, after 30 years, doesn't come to church, doesn't believe, you know, and she's prayed her heart out, and it still hasn't happened. And she was so discouraged. And I said, just because a person says they don't believe doesn't mean that they don't. A lot of people say a lot of things. God may be working a faith inside of them that they're not aware of yet. So never give up. Never give up on somebody. God works long before we can see anything, long before they can see anything. And so that's my encouragement to you. Never give up on the people in your life. Never give up on community. I've tried to share different ways of doing it. But in the end, it's God that is working in their heart. Trust that God is doing that.